Welcome to Season 2 of Medical Design Briefs Podcast. I'm Sherry Trigg, Editor and Director of Content for Medical Design Briefs, presented by the editors of SAE Media Group throughout the year. This new series will cover a variety of technologies that are poised to transform healthcare. Over the next 4 weeks, we will take an in-depth look at high-tech health, implantable biosensors and wearable injectors. And this week, my first guest is Rob Batchelor, head of biosensors at Nootromics, who will talk to us about continuous monitoring and biosensors for health insights. Welcome, Rob.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me on the show, Sherry.
So, Rob, can you start by sharing some of your background as well as a snapshot of Nootromics?
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to. So my background is biochemistry as an undergraduate and my master's in pharmacology, both from the University of Washington up in Seattle. Go Huskies. So I was there for a while. And then in 1999, I moved down to Eugene, Oregon, where I joined a company called Molecular Probes, which is now part of Thermo Fisher. So I was at the Molecular Probe site for about 13 years. And there I launched over 70 products to market in the biochemistry and cell biology space, and also worked on a number of instrument designs, such as the Attune flow cytometer, and the, if you've ever worked in molecular biology lab, the qubits, I was part of that design team as well. And so after a number of years there at Thermo Fisher, I wanted to move beyond that. And then for the last 10 or 11 years, I've been working for a string of small startups and small companies. About 8 years ago, I got really, really excited about aptamers. And so aptamers, if you're not familiar with them, are the sort of the DNA version of antibodies. And so for the last few years, I've been working for a number of startups that have been developing aptamers for electrochemical-based sensing within the body. And so that's how I ended up here at Nootromics. So what Nootromics is trying to do, the fundamental problem that we're trying to solve, is that clinicians, physicians, they don't have the timely information about what's going on for the molecules inside the human body. And since a huge number of clinical decisions are based on how do we, know what's going on with the biomarkers, metabolites, drugs, that sort of stuff, they have to make these sort of based on 1940s technology, right? There's this blood draw, it's painful, or there's a urine sample that goes down to the pathology lab. And then even if it's stat, even if it's they need this information right away, that's going to take anywhere from like 45 minutes or even hours to get this information. And so this problem that Nootromics is trying to solve, what we're going to do is we're developing a coin-sized patch, about the size of a US half dollar, and then it'll sit on the back of the patient's arm, and then using microneedles will painlessly and bloodlessly interrogate the molecules that are going on, moving, rising and falling over time within that ISF, the interstitial fluid of the skin. And then we use that information to wirelessly then say, oh, what's going on to see with this particular drug or this particular metabolite? And then that way the physicians can make timely information like, okay, we need to increase or decrease the concentration of the drug, or we see this metabolite's going up or down. And then that way they can make their clinical decisions. And so Nootromics, we've been around for about 7 years, and at this point, we're about 50 people, both here in Melbourne, Australia, as well as we have a site in San Diego, California. And so currently, we are in clinical trials here, collaborating with Monash University here in Melbourne, and our coin-sized device, we have a prototype that we're actually putting on people to measure the dangerous antibiotic called vancomycin. So vancomycin is used to treat people who have very, very serious disease called sepsis. And sepsis is basically bacterial infection of the blood, right? And so essentially what this is that you've got bacteria in your blood, you need to get rid of it. So they give you vancomycin. The problem with vancomycin is that it has a very narrow therapeutic range. And because of that, either if you're below the concentration, you're not actually treating the bacterial infection, the sepsis, or above that, you're actually damaging, getting an overdose of the vancomycin. This damages the kidneys, and this leads to acute kidney injury or AKI. It's sort of like a heart attack for the kidneys. Yeah. And this is very, very serious, which can lead to long-term kidney damage or even death. And so this is the problem for us as clinicians. This is the problem, the specific problem that Nootromics is trying to solve with our vancomycin sensor.
So you've touched on this a little bit already, just been describing the product. In a bigger picture, how are aptamer-based biosensors enabling real-time diagnostic and therapeutic drug monitoring?
Yeah, that's a great question. So essentially what our coin-sized patch, on the backside of it are the microneedles, right? And so the microneedles are just barely going into the skin, about half a millimeter into the skin, and then coated on the outside of these microneedles. The microneedles are also electrodes. And on the outside of these microneedles are the aptamers. And as I mentioned, the aptamers are sort of the DNA version of antibodies. And just like antibodies, they give specificity. They allow it to pick out a particular molecule or drug in the face of the, you know, thousands of other molecules that are present in the ISF. And so this allows us to get specificity for a particular drug, say vancomycin. And then the way that this happens, you have one end of the aptamer. An aptamer is a single-stranded bit of DNA. So one end of the DNA is attached to the electrode, to the microneedle surface. The other end has a redox tag. And this redox tag is a certain distance away from the surface of the electrode. And so you can interrogate that electrochemically in the absence of the target, say vancomycin, and you get a certain amount of current. Then in the presence of the vancomycin, the aptamer sort of folds around the target, the vancomycin, and you end up getting a change in the distance of that redox tag. Either it moves further away or more likely it moves closer to the electrode, and you get an increase in current. And so this increase in current can be measured using electrochemistry, and we can say, like, now we've got a certain amount of amps, now we've got more amps, you know, or microamps, as it were, and then we can convert that into a drug concentration. So that way we can see the rise and fall of the vancomycin as it goes up and down as the physician changes the drug concentration in the body. And so that's essentially what we're trying to do. So what this is doing is the aptamers are converting a target binding, a molecular physical change, into an electrical current, which then we can measure and then put on an output to like a wireless device. That's essentially what we're doing. And the real power of this, the reason why I get really, really excited about this is that, sorry, now I'm starting to talk with my hands quite a bit, is that this That's is okay. really, really powerful from a biophysical standpoint, because if you think about the continuous glucose monitors, so essentially what they're doing is they have an enzyme, which is coated on the outside of their sensors. And then this relies on the chemical reactivity of the glucose, or it doesn't have to be glucose. You could use lactate or ketones, but essentially you need an enzyme that's specific for your molecule and in the face of all the others. Aptamers don't need that chemical reactivity. Essentially, you just need an aptamer that binds the particular target that you're interested in the face of all the others, and that allows you to get that specificity. Now, aptamers have been around since 1990, and so this is... they can be engineered. So you can engineer them to work in serum. We can work them in seawater. When I was at Base Pair Biotechnologies in Houston, Texas, we were interested in making aptamers that worked in fracking water, right? So really, really high salt, very, very strange conditions. So you can engineer aptamers to work in a wide variety of different liquid matrices. And so this makes it really, really powerful. So that way you can find a specific molecule, say vancomycin, in a particular milieu. So I hope that answers your question. I could talk for another hour.
But see, that's so incredible. I mean, you know, you think 1990, it seems like not that long ago, but it's been a few years, but still so much has advanced since then. So what would you say are the potential applications going forward for these DNA-based sensors?
Yeah, so I think the therapeutic drug monitoring are the first, as they say here in Australia, the first cab off the rank. So there's a real clinical need here. Vancomycin and other relatively dangerous antibiotics that can really affect the patient's kidneys or other parts of the body. Those are the clear, obvious targets, right? So the clinicians are really, really excited about those, being able to measure those in real time. But that's the first cohort. Then you can imagine other metabolites such as creatinine or lactates or potentially glucose that would allow you to measure those very interesting clinically interesting metabolites in time. So that way you can see, again, the rise and fall. And so you're not just getting a snapshot, say, every 5 or 6 hours or however often you take a blood draw or a urine sample. You can see these every few minutes, like, okay, now you can really start to hone in and like, okay, I did this to the patient by, you know, giving them more water or turning up the drug or whatever, and then really starting to look at that. Then you can also start to think about the on the back of the patch, before you get sort of the bed of nails effect, you can put dozens of different electrodes on there, the different microneedles. And so now you can start to think about measuring dozens of different biomarkers or drugs over time. Now, in the first case, we're interested in just looking every 24 hours. But you can imagine if we could get to the length of time that the continuous glucose monitors have, say, 2 weeks or even 3 weeks. So then you can see the rise and fall of dozens of analytes going up and down for 2 or 3 weeks. So now you really start to think about, okay, these patients are, trending towards, diabetes or trending towards like senility or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, sort of a lot of the huge first world problems that we have that I think could be really, really addressed by these, by seeing these. And then at some point, we pull it out of the clinic, right? We pull it out of the ICU and into the outpatient setting. So that way you rock up to your general practitioner and you're like, hey, let's see what's going on with you. I want you to take one of these patches, right? So you wear the patch for a couple of weeks and you can see the rise and fall, like, oh, maybe your kidney enzymes are up or your liver enzymes or whatever. And then the doctor can say, okay, we think that this is trying to making lifestyle changes or exercise or health or that sort of stuff would be really powerful. And then not just that. So then you can think about not just getting people better, but then also like actually better performance. So then you can think about not just for like professional athletes, but for people who just want to be fit and like, how far can I really push myself when I'm in my middle age to run faster or swim faster or cycle faster? And then, of course, you can think for the folks protecting our country, right? The soldiers and the airmen, the submariners that are really like, we want to push those guys and women to make sure that they can get out there and train more effectively. And then also when they're in out on the field, fighting the bad guys, as it were, those guys and women can make sure that they've, performing at their top notch. So then it's not just making people better, but also human performance for a number of different, that's where I get really, really excited. So that way you can just go to the pharmacist, right? And just pull this, oh, I'm going to get this patch and I'm going to see, how do I do better for better performance or mental performance or, musical performance or whatever you want to do, that's going to be really, really powerful. That's going to change Western medicine from being reactive to being proactive. So then we can really start to address a lot of these first world problems. Even if you could bend the curve a little bit for diabetes or for Alzheimer's by dialing it down 5 or 10%, that makes a huge impact, billions of dollars and millions of patients over the years. So that's why I'm really, really excited about that.
Well, you've obviously talked a lot about this already, but Nutromics patch is very different from other existing technologies. Are there other ways that it's different besides that sort of continuous monitoring or instant information?
No, I think that actually hits to the nub of it, really, is that by having this real-time continuous data, it allows you to find sort of the rise and falls, right? So the current technology is, at best, maybe every 30 minutes, every 60 minutes. I mean, that means you're taking a lot of blood draws, right? Every 30 to 60 minutes, that's a lot of work. But this allows you to basically go from like your 1990s, camera where you're taking a picture and then waiting forever to now you've converted it over to a video, right? So now you can see the rise and fall of that. And so the nice thing that I get excited about is that you're moving away from the chemical reactivity that's required. Now, there's many other technologies that allow you to do sort of the point of care. A great classic example are the rats, right? The rat tests that we all had, spent a lot of time doing for COVID. Or if you ever were interested in, seeing whether or not you or your partner were pregnant, right? So the lateral flow assays, right? Those are a great technology if you're looking for a binary answer. Am I pregnant? Yes or no. Do I have COVID? Yes or no. Those sort of things are very, very powerful. If you just, no one's just a little bit pregnant. No one just has a little bit of COVID, right? Either you do or you don't. You're just looking for that yes or no. And so, but for other, for drugs in particular, or for metabolites, it's very interesting to see the rise and fall of those over time. And so the power of this technology is not that it, I've talked about minutes, but the technology is actually fast enough that you could allow you to interrogate, sub-second. So now you're talking about, oh, So maybe this could be something that we could possibly do for like neurotransmitters, right? So now you're talking about nerve cells talking to each other really, really quickly on a sub-second timescale. That would be really powerful. And then you can see how those modulate by different drugs or by performance or whatever, you know, sort of you poke the patient with a stick, you know, what happens when you do that, right? When you modulate what's going on with the patient or with the person who's interested in modulating their performance. So that's the real power of this technology is that it's really, really fast. And then it also looks at in theory, if you can make an aptamer to the particular target, then you can be able to sense that. That's really the power of this. So it's not just, antibodies are great, right? But they don't, when you have a target binding to the antibodies, you don't see a change in shape. And you, so that way you can see the binding, but usually you have to do is like an ELISA or mass spec or Western or whatever, right? Very slow, very lab-based. You need all that lab stuff. You need a lab tech to do all that. Here, this means anybody who is willing to put a patch onto their arm or to their body to see what's going on with their body. You don't need a trained technician. It's taking all the science and making it very, very simple and then translating it, essentially democratizing the information within your body. It makes it, allows you to personalize it, democratize it, and gives more power to the consumer in the long run. So that's why I get excited about this.
Well, so, and you did say that it's going to affect the landscape, but how are these DNA-based, aptamer-based sensors going to transform the diagnostics landscape in the future?
Yeah, so I think I alluded to a little of this earlier, but I think it's really about two things. One, it's giving people more information, and that's both the clinicians, the care providers, and then also the patient themselves. And then on top of that, it's giving them better information, right? As opposed to getting a once every few hours or once every day, it's going to allow you to see what's going on. I think a really case in point that is like for people that have organ transplants, right? So the current state of the art is that they go in, you know, every few months and they get a blood draw, like, is your organ being rejected or not, right? And it's basically sort of a monitor, like, have they been taking their immunosuppressants? So, but who knows what's going on for those other few months? And so would it be really nice to see is to make sure that the people, they can tell themselves, am I taking the drugs appropriately? And then also their care providers, their family, they can see making sure that they're doing this. So this way they can have the lifestyle that they want and not sort of guess like, okay, every 3 months I need to see what's going on. So it's moving, it's having better data. And then that's going to, I think, allow people to make, you know, the choices that they want for the lifestyle that they want. And then, again, as I mentioned earlier, moving from the reactive medicine to proactive medicine. So that way, like, oh, you know, Mr. Right. Jones, you're trending towards diabetes, or you're trending towards obesity, or you're trending towards a heart attack or senility or whatever. Some profound first world problems that we have that are, you know, so making small lifestyle changes, you know, a few extra steps or dialing back, you know, the fatty foods or whatever is necessary to, you know, to change sort of the arc of your health history, as it were, will allow us to see what's going on. And then not only that, but, you know, there's thousands of molecules that are moving around in your body all the time. And we've only looked at a handful of those particular biomarkers. So I'm sure there's dozens, if not hundreds of other biomarkers that would be very interested in to see that would give us better predictive ability, better, you know, health, better performance characteristics. So I think this is I like to think of it as the tsunami in the sense that, and in a good way, right? So a tsunami of information, right? So we've seen the power of machine learning, of AI, but those computational techniques need information. And this is going to give us the medical information to really, really see, okay, we're looking at dozens of different biomarkers every minute for 3 weeks, right? So then you can, now we're going to look at that patient cohort. Now we put that on a few thousand people. You can see like, oh, these people trended towards diabetes. These people trended towards obesity. These people tended toward heart attack or stroke or whatever. You can say, these are the biomarkers. So now you can really start to tease out what's going on. So that gives more grist for the AI mill, as it were. So then you can figure out exactly what's going on. The AI has come along, you know, a little bit earlier than where genomics and other continuous real-time monitoring patches are. But I think, you know, in a couple of years when we're in the market And then also, this is going to allow us to look at it. I get really, really excited. It's really the combination of AI, the AI, and the EAB, the electrochemical aptamer-based biosensing. It's going to be like chocolate and peanut butter. Two really, really powerful things. I love peanut butter. I love chocolate. Bringing those together, I mean, it's like peanut M&Ms, right? You just get super, super excited. Like, man, this is my favorite candy in the world.
Yeah.
And this is going to revolutionize. I don't think it's too small to say that it's going to revolutionize Western medicine. I'm 100% convinced of this, and it's only a matter of time and, getting this out of the market.
Well, so do you see an exponential development of aptamer-based devices now that they're actually out there and really being developed? Will there be more?
Yeah. I think, absolutely. So there's basically two, I've sort of skated out over how we do engineering of aptamers, but it's essentially a wet lab iterative molecular biology process called SELEX, or S-E-L-E-X. And so this was invented back by Larry Gold in 1990, and it's slow and you can automate it, but even then it takes, 48 to 72 hours to do a SELEX campaign of, to make aptamers. There's a number of companies. There's Biogenes and Kuala Lumpur, and then Dianox up in Copenhagen, and Pentabind up in London, just to name a few, that are really taking a hard look at computational AI, ML-based, how do we make aptamers, computationally? And that will be really, really powerful. The question is, can those companies and Nutromics and other people, basically, how can we accelerate making better aptamers for a particular molecular target in the face of all the others, mm-hmm. right? Something that's specific, has the appropriate binding affinity, has appropriate shape changing, that we're really interested in to see this. And I think this is going to happen in just the next couple of years. Wonderful. The nice thing is that even if we can't do it computationally, and I do think we'll get there in the next couple of years, I think by automating the current processes that we have, that we can go from soup to nuts, from go to woe, as they say here in Australia, and just a month. And so that's like, I want a particular aptamer to say like taurine or, a troponin or some other biomarker that you're interested in. And you say, okay, I'm going to start this process. And within 30 days, I can, and this is a wet lab process, not even computational. Within 30 days, we can have a sensor that's ready to go, into clinical trials. And that's just automating the processes that we have currently. That's no new technology other than, taking the scientists, the wet lab scientists, and just feeding them into the robots. So I'm really, really excited about this. And this, mm-hmm. the technology exists, and we can make this happen. Yeah. So this would allow us to make easily a dozens, or even, if you crank out one a week, that would be about 50 sensors a year. That would be really, really powerful for us. So,
right. Wow. I'm looking forward to seeing more, and I'm sure.
Yeah, so am I. Yeah.
We're going to see more out of Nutromics, but I'm absolutely sure. So very good, Rob. Thank you for joining me today. I really have appreciated all of your insights.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure to be here.
Join us next week for episode 2, where we will talk about wearable injectors and the future of drug delivery. If you'd like to provide feedback on this episode, please email me at sherry.trigg@saemediagroup.com. You can listen to this podcast at medicaldesignbriefs.com/podcast or on your favorite podcast app, such as Apple Podcast or Spotify. Thank you for listening, and watch for more coverage of exciting new technologies in the coming weeks.